Welcome one and all once again to Do It With episode 141. This week I'm joined by Martin.
Hello!
And Daniel.
Greetings, universe.
So we took last week off. Nobody was around and I just had a really terrible week and didn't want to deal with trying to schedule. So I do apologize for that, but we are rocking and rolling, leading into E3. And this week, just because of all the news surrounding it, we're going to talk about Microsoft and our predictions and stuff we know about them leading into E3, but that will come at the end of the show. We're going to kick it off, as we usually do, with what we've been playing recently. And because I'm totally selfish, I'm going to go first, partially because I've been playing games for review. The first one up was Gramp Kitty and His Buddy on Rails, which I reviewed and it's up on the site now. This is, as far as I can tell, this is actually the first on-rail shooter I've ever played. As far as a literal on-rail shooter, in that you're kind of magnetically attached to rails.
Oh.
And you can only, yeah, it's literally
on-rail. I guess
that's
one way of bringing meaning to the...
On Roche, yeah. So, like, it's, I don't know if either one of you have ever played Mario Galaxy 1 or 2.
Yeah, but the first one.
Okay, there are certain parts of the games where, like, you can mess with gravity in like a 2D plane, and he can go up and down, and you just have to time your jumps.
Yeah,
so that's basically this game. There are rails all around you, and you can attach to them. But that's the only way you can move. Like, you can jump across from them and stuff like that, but your gravity will always pull you back towards the rail. So what makes it interesting, aside from that, is really the shooting mechanics. Because since you are on rails and it's not a twin-stick shooter, you have to line up your shots based on how you are on the rails. So, like, if somebody's across from you, you have to kind of, I guess you have to go at a diagonal angle because you always shoot forward and stuff like that. So it's interesting trying to find ways, creative ways to get rid of enemies without going directly attacking them and stuff like that. The goal of the game, because it's really, really light on story as far as I can tell. The only thing I could find was the manual. It's basically in each stage there are about 4 kittens hidden and you have to find them, and each one represents a different objective in the stage. There's a cat you find by just clearing the stage. There's a cat you find after you beat it. There's like a giant cat boss that shows up after you defeat a certain amount of minions or you find a certain secret area. There's a cat that shows up once you collect all 100 coins in a stage, and then there's a cat that you have to chase throughout the stage in order to, you have to chase it to catch it like 4 times before you can free it, but it's on a timer, so that's, I find that to be the most interesting one because that's the one that tends to test your platforming abilities the most, because you have to use, not just, you know, it's not just like, oh, you go along the rails and find it, but you also have to use the gravitational pull. So sometimes you can rotate around certain platforms, so sometimes you want to use that and kind of swingshot yourself so you get more momentum and you can go further than the level faster and stuff like that. So it's interesting in that regard. It's a really fun game. $10 isn't that bad. I really don't know what else to say about it. There's not much story to it. Graphically, it looks fine. It's nothing special. It's has a dual screen setup, but it doesn't, like, it has 2 screens, but it's really just mirroring the other thing. One's just wider, and you can alternate between what is on the gamepad and what's on the screen. Sometimes, especially with the scaredy cat, the one that you have to chase, one of the screens will show you where that is, and then you can kind of follow along where you are. But now I feel like that's just a pain in the ass to kind of get 2 screens at once to try to get the same information. So yeah, there's that. Like I said, if you want the full reviews up on the website, I think it's a great game to check out.
That sounds pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. The other game I've been playing, and this one you can probably find, it's actually a mobile game that they've kind of ported over with new features. It's called Squid's Odyssey for the Wii U. And this is, I think somebody called it, described it as Final Fantasy Tactics meets Angry Birds. And I don't know if that's an apt description, but it is kind of a momentum-based RPG, if that makes any sense. In that,
that's
you,
weird.
Yeah, it is weird, but I have to say, so far I'm having a blast with it. Basically, how it goes is you have a party of squids, and you control them with the touch. You can use the analog stick right for the touch screen. You basically, it's kind of like pull. You pull them back. You set angles and momentum, and how, you know, like, you have a certain amount of stamina that you can use, and you pull back and you kind of launch them, and it launches their attack. So you can launch them into an enemy to do damage. You can launch them into, like, environmental hazards to do damage. You can try to pinball them where you kind of hit them so that they hit something, and then they hit you back, and then they hit something again to rack up damage and stuff like that. And then each squid has, like, there are four types of squid. There's the average one, there's a shooter, there's a brute, and there's a Helia. The Helia, if it runs into you or you run into it, heals you. If you, the shooter, if they get within range, they can shoot an enemy from a distance. The brute, if they, well, when they're in range, they can do like a ground attack that will damage everybody within a radius. I don't know what the average one does so far, but it tends to be, you know, the most well-rounded stuff like that. I have to say, it's a very different type of RPG, but I really find myself enjoying it right now. It's a mobile game, and like I said, you can see its roots in mobile games. Like, if you ever played, like, an Angry Bird or Cut the Ropes, it has the same 3 stars per mission, and each star kind of lines up to a different type of objective to hit. It's like if nobody dies, and if you find a secret star in it, and if you beat the game, beat the stage in a certain amount of rounds, like some of them are 5, 4, whatever. They also tend to mix it up. There are some where it's like defeat every enemy on the stage. Some it's just like finding the exit as soon as possible. Sometimes it's surviving a set number of rounds before it expires and stuff like that. So far it's offered up a bit of variety. You know, you can get different customizations. You find hats that give them different attributes. You can buy equipment and gear to, you don't necessarily equip them. You can transfer the powers and then you can just give them goofy hats to wear for whatever reason. So it's like a permanent stat boost, but it drains, so you can only use it for one character, but you can dress anybody else up in that gear, which is kind of nifty. Music's really catchy, and so far, even though it doesn't really follow them, it is kind of based off of like popular video games. Like, I think there's one like Red Squid Redemption and Unsquidded or something like that, so it's very nifty in that way. I will have my full review up hopefully by Thursday, which is when this game is out on the Wii U, and it's $15. So yeah, there's that.
Sounds like the Wii U's getting some cool indie things.
Yeah, the only sad part is I believe both of these games were originally scheduled to come out in February.
Yeah,
I guess that's one of the problems of being an indie developer, is that you don't necessarily always know. You don't always have the best plan, as like we said, this game's coming out then, and then you end up finding problems near the end, so you push it back and push it back. So like, Nintendo did some promotion for it early on, but that was 4 months ago, and now these are just kind of coming out with no fanfare.
Yeah.
It is what it is. What about you? You have been playing the Titanfall DLC, correct?
Yeah, so the Titanfall DLC is kind of interesting in the sense that it's just maps. That's all it is. But the maps are good. I mean, they have the same, I would say they have the same quality of design that the vanilla ones have. But one of them, which is called War Games, which is set in like the simulator that is the training that starts you off when you do the tutorial. The problem I have with that is it feels like, because The thing about Titanfall maps is they're just multiplayer maps, obviously, because it's just a multiplayer game, but they have a lot that sort of goes on around them, and it's really cool because it feels like you're kind of in a place that exists in a world instead of just like Call of Duty, where you're just in an area where there just happen to be buildings but nothing else. So there's a lot of stuff that goes on, but the one that's set in the training simulator, kind of nothing happens, and it's just like, there's no personality to this map. It's just, and a lot of the floors are just sort of generic white metal because it's in a training simulator. And it's like, so you took all the interesting design. I mean, contrast it to Runoff, which is like, you can tell it's like some kind of maybe some power or sewage facility where it's really tight and actually works quite well because it's a very close quarters map. And it's especially interesting when you're playing in Titans. And then there's the jungle map, where it's not easy to navigate in a Titan, but and your effectiveness in general is kind of limited, but you're not close quarters. And the jungle map is really cool. And then you've got this map that just looks like, it looks like it was half finished intentionally. And there's just nothing that sort of happens in the around you, and it's kind of weird. Aside from that, some issues that people need to be careful of, especially on PC, is they've patched the game so you can have custom loadout names, which is a thing that should have been in the game from the start, and it supports 144 Hz properly. But the
I think you were about to say 144 characters. I'm like, that's a hell of a name for a loadout.
And no, the character limit on the loadouts isn't that big, but it's enough. It supports 144 Hz, but there's a bug in the game that now means that you shoot faster the higher frame rate you have, and it just amazes me, because like when you tie anything in the video game to the frame rate, you're asking for trouble. And they did it. So now, if you play on PC and you think that people are hacking, they're not. It's because it's a bug in the game. That people aren't even, they don't even get to choose whether to exploit it or not. It just happens. So yeah, I don't know if it's worth $10 for the three maps, because a lot of the stuff like the loadout changes, and the there's like a they fixed up capture the flag mode, so you can't capture flag, you can't carry flags in Titans, which was a thing they should have not done from the start. All of that stuff is free. It's just the maps that you pay for. So I don't know if it's worth $10. It's like, is it $10? Yeah, it's $10 for three maps. I mean, if you like Titanfall, it probably is. But if you aren't too keen on it and you think that it has problems like a lack of depth, then I would say kind of avoid it, because I mean, you get a better deal with fucking Call of Duty maps, and that's saying something.
Yeah, and as you said, it doesn't really add much new as far as a gameplay.
No, it's just more maps. I mean, I never got bored of the other maps anyway, because there was a decent selection of them. So yeah. I don't know what problem more maps solves, other than we want more money.
Well, I guess you new content, but
yeah, I don't know how on PC, I don't know how the player base is going to be able to cope with the split. Well, I don't know, we'll see in time, won't we?
Yeah. Okay. Martin, what have you been playing?
I played and finished the Tesla Effect, a Tex Murphy adventure.
I want to buy that game.
which is... it was a Kickstarter project. Basically, Tex Murphy was an FMV adventure series back in the 90s. And... it's raised enough money on Kickstarter, so we made a new one. But this time the FMV actually looks kind of great, because it's in 2K.
Yeah, I saw that, I was like, Jesus Christ.
It's the resolution on these videos is just great, and they actually do some really well done blue screen or green screen effects in there as well. It's straight up, it's an FMV adventure game from the 90s. I mean, you talk to lots of people, you try to get information of them, which might help you on some of the puzzles. A lot of the puzzles are environmental, so you go into a new location, and what's new in this one is it's completely in a 3D engine, so you actually walk around in it. You interact with the environment. The only thing I didn't quite like as much, and when it came to the puzzle design, was this game tends to use some puzzle tropes, like I don't know what they are called, but these puzzles where you have like the complete picture, there's just one part missing.
Sliding block puzzles, are you fucking serious?
Yeah, there's one of those in there, and I hate those. And some others that you might see in something like Layton, but to be honest, the other ones were not as bad. There's just this one or two that kind of suck, the sliding block one especially. But the great thing about this game is that when you start it, there's the option to choose between casual and gamer mode.
Oh, don't tell me there's hardcore gamers out there.
Yeah, and reading through the description of both of those options, I immediately chose casual, because it's actually a great way to play this game, and I think it will avoid lots of frustration, even from game partners. Because what it does is, these old kind of games, whatever you did, you basically gained points. And these points basically did nothing, except that at the end of the game, hey, I got that many points. Great. The cool thing is, when you're playing in casual mode, the points you earn, you can use to then buy hints. So you basically have like an in-game hint system, which is basically like not a complete walkthrough, but it takes you through some of the motions. And but you have to basically buy these hints with these points. So if I'm stuck at something, like, I don't know, I have to figure out how I get into this warehouse. So I go into the system, and there are like multiple options. One is, how do I get into this warehouse? Then I click on it, I get some points deducted, but then I can read the steps that are required to get into a warehouse. But it's not completely explicit. It might say something like, hey, talk to this guy, or after that, maybe go to this location and try to find this thing. And so it's not really a description of, hey, go there, then pick this, stuff like that. So it's, I think that's really well done. The other thing is, you always have a flashlight with you, which is kind of useless in game mode, just to light up things, but it's not really necessary. But in casual mode, when you use the flashlight, it immediately makes all the items in the environment which you can pick up sparkle. So that avoids a lot of the pixel hunting that might happen in a game like this.
But that also feels kind of cheap.
Not really. You still have to think how you have to use these items to solve the puzzles.
I guess. I just feel like part of the charm of those games is kind of trying to find everything. And not like, oh, here's everything you can... Why not just give it to you at that point?
Well, surely you could turn the flashlight off if you want to pick it up.
Well,
yeah.
You can
always turn it off. It's just... It makes it easier if you have trouble finding stuff. And I think that's a pretty good option. I really like that. I didn't use it all the time, but if I felt like, am I overlooking something here? What's going on? Then I turn on the flashlight and I saw maybe something sparkle that I overlooked, and it made things easier. You have to remember, it's in a 3D environment. It's not like a traditional adventure game where you have just the 2D screen to look around, and if stuff can be, I don't know, behind a counter and something, it's much, much easier to overlook. Overall, I really enjoyed it, and I am not even a fan of the old games because I didn't play them. I just thought the game looked interesting, and so I picked it up, and yeah, it's really good.
I want to buy it because of how campy it is.
Oh yeah, it's of course, it's also super campy. You know, if you don't know Tex Murphy, it's all like, I mean, it's a noir game, and your detective is kind of goofy, but he also looks like he's out of the 20s, but the game is actually in the future, it's in 2050. So, yeah.
And do you know what I love most about this game, right? Is it's a case of, we made the last game in this series in 1998, and it wasn't particularly good back then, but fuck it, here's another one, you know?
But I have to say, this is not a bad game. Not at all. I really don't think so. I think maybe that old game might have not have been that well received because of some of the limitations of that you had to do back in the day to do a game like this.
Yeah, do you know what? I was watching a video, and the thing that really struck me was they used the old video from the old games for flashbacks, and I was like, fantastic, that's great.
Yeah, they run in a smaller window.
Yeah.
But it's pretty funny. I think it's a great game. I can actually recommend getting it. The other thing I played was MLB The Show, MLB 14 The Show on the PS4. Germany is not really a hotspot when it comes to baseball.
As far as I know, any place outside of America doesn't tend to be much of a hotspot for baseball.
Japan is.
Okay.
Japan is. They love the baseball as well. But I was always interested in the game and played a couple of baseball games. Like, I really enjoyed the Japanese Power Pro series with these cutesy guys. The only problem with the game always was that because of the language barrier, anything beyond exhibition mode was basically unplayable. But I had fun with the basic gameplay. And I also tried my hand at, I think it was MLB 12. On PS3, but I'm not completely sure. But it was hard. I mean, not everything was hard. Learning the basic rules of baseball is not hard. I mean, it's not exactly a complex game, to be honest. Someone from the UK would probably say, it's just rounders.
I know the difference between rounders and baseball.
I've never heard of rounders.
Rounders is basically the most casual version of baseball you'll ever get.
Anyway, it's not a super complex sport, so in that sense it's easy to learn. But the problem always was for me that pitching is kind of easy to get into, but the betting part of the MLB series is kind of hard. And now, I think this got introduced earlier, but this year they also have the beginner mode. And for pitching, it wasn't really necessary for me, but for betting, I really enjoyed it to get me at least a bit up to speed. What this mode does is it's kind of dynamic. So it's easier than the easiest difficulty level, and it basically starts you out with the pitcher just throwing fastballs down the middle. And if you're able to hit those, it will introduce another throw. And if you get used to those, it will introduce another throw. And it will do this until it has all the throws in there and different locations. And when you're at this point, you're basically playing on the easiest difficulty level. And that's actually a really great way, I think, to get used to the way of how the hitting works in this game. So I really enjoyed that. So now I don't completely suck at batting. The other thing I guess to talk about is, how does the game look? Because it's another PS4 game, and we don't have that many right now. I think it looks pretty good. I mean, you can still see some of the remnants from that it still comes from PS3. I mean, they openly admitted that this game basically got made in 9 months. But it looks good. It runs, it's 1080p, 60 frames a second, so that's always a plus for sports game, I think, because it makes the action more immediate. The only thing I really don't like is the loading times. They are kind of long. I hope maybe they can patch that. I mean, we've seen in the past that some games were able to do that. Otherwise, I would hope that in next year's game, they improve that part. Also really like the lighting in this game. It's just very realistic lighting, and you don't see that often in games, that games try to do realistic lighting for some reason.
Just real quick, and this really has so little to do with the game, but like, what team do you support in the game, or do you just pick at random?
Well, I pick the Yankees.
Okay. Best team money can buy.
Yeah. So I thought, I don't have any association to any team, so why not pick one that has been one of the most successful ones over the years?
Okay, I was just curious. If
they are basically the Bayern Munich of baseball.
They're the easy mode.
The Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Of baseball.
Or the Manchester United.
Yeah.
So why not?
We have fulfilled our sports talk for the next 5 years. So we can
at least until I get next year's game.
So we can move on to news. We are going to save all the Microsoft stuff. So Ubisoft, well, actually a bunch of companies had their financial statements this week or last week. But I guess the one with the most meat would have been Ubisoft. They announced...
Plus we got all the slides, basically.
They're really, 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 really selective slides. It's interesting, because they had slides for, what, the biggest brands in gaming?
Yep.
Which I was surprised to... I always surprised to see Sonic still on that list.
It's weird, right?
I know why, and it's going
It's the kids. It's the kids.
But it's not even the kids. It's the Mario and Sonic games that did remarkably well on the Wii. And that's going to...
Okay. That makes also sense. Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, the first one did, like, 10 million, and I think the bottom of that is 22 million. So you're already halfway near.
Okay.
So it's going to... It's going to dissipate once you get out of that bubble, but it's still a big brand. But yes, I was also a huge fan of their review list because they eliminated, I believe it was Wii U games, casual games, and they narrowed the window to take the last 6 months to make sure that they had four games in the top 10.
Well, it's not just that. I can tell you why they removed Wii U and Wii. Because this was basically a list of, hey, here's the most successful AAA games.
Yeah, that, see, even then that's kind of, because they put Rayman Legends on it.
Well, apparently it sold whatever the metric was.
What metric is it that you could ignore stuff like Mario, but Rayman fits?
Didn't Rayman, like...
Well, it's their own game, for one reason.
I know, that's what I said. It's funny that, because basically, if you include iOS and Android and the Wii and the Wii U, none of their games would make the top 10. I don't think their games would make the top 20. So it's basically like, what can we do to get rid of
iOS
games?
iOS makes sense to exclude, but I don't know. Assassin's Creed would be up there.
It wouldn't be top 10, though.
Maybe not.
Because remember, this would be Assassin's Creed 4, and that was... I mean, it had better reception.
I don't know how many that sold, to be honest. So.
Oh, no, but this isn't a list of sales. This is the list of reviews.
It was a list of reviews, but I also sell like a couple of millions.
Did it? I know they had a list of... Because they had a list of the top brands of all time, of the past decade. And that made sense, even if they ignore... I think they ignore PC and mobile for that as well, which is strange. Because I think Minecraft...
But maybe I'm thinking of a brands thing.
Because the brand one was like Call of Duty.
Okay, I'm thinking of that one then. Which was also, I think, one of the things there was like... It has to have sold more than 22 million copies.
That's what I meant. Because the bottom of the list was, I think, Gears of War was at the bottom, and that was just 22 million. So that. I mean, they ignored handhelds. They ignored, but there was also another one where they had like the top 20 or 25 best reviewed games of the last 6 months.
So I missed that one. Okay.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, we'll get rid of all these games so that we can say, because I mean, there's no Last of Us on it. There's a bunch of games that they just kind of got out so they can get, like, oh, we have two of the top 10 highest rated games in the past how many ever months, just so we can get around that.
Well, in this slide it says 4, so they fudge the numbers to get more than 2 in there.
Yeah.
Okay, so, that is weird.
Yeah,
I was thinking of the other one, which
is the other one,
as suspicious.
The other one, what they did is they combined a bunch of games. Like, they combined... Well, I mean, I guess it's still under Mario, but they can... Because I think the one they did last year had Mario and Mario Kart separate, and those would count as... They would be two different things on the list. So they were just like, we'll just do Mario, which makes sense. It is all on the Mario. But yeah, that was also the same thing where... It was just impressive to see the... EA has a ton of massive brands, and I guess that's because they do a lot of massive sports games.
Yeah. Both sell a lot.
Yeah, yes. And what's great about it for them is that they sell a lot differently. Like, Madden sells well for us. FIFA sells well globally.
FIFA actually, I just want to say, FIFA actually sells globally really well. Even America, the numbers are not that bad.
Oh, no, it sells well, but, I mean, like, Madden, for example, is a predominantly American
brand. Oh, yeah, of course.
But FIFA is like, it still dominates the charts in Europe week after week. Yeah. And I can only imagine it's going to get worse or better, depending on your definition, as we get closer to the World Cup.
Yeah, they even have a World Cup game, although that's not on current gen.
Yeah,
which,
well,
I still think is questionable, but okay.
I think in that it makes sense, because I feel like the people who are probably just going to buy it because it's World Cup season are probably people who are already invested in those ecosystems.
Not to mention the World Cup games have always been the ones that you can tell had much less of a budget.
Let me tell you something. Like, the last World Cup game was actually better than the FIFA game that came out the year before it. I know that, because I played it. they've actually made a lot of changes, which then made it into the real FIFA game at the end of the year, and which made that game also a lot better. So I would actually probably have been one of those people who, if they made like a current gen version, I might have bought it.
I guess the other big thing to come out of their press release was that the division has been pushed back to 2015.
I say I'm not surprised, because we have seen so little of that game that I already knew this is not coming out this
not
year.
Not to mention this, you just have to look at Watch Dogs, you know?
Yeah. And the other games that Ubisoft has this year, why would you even release it in the same year?
Yeah, that's what I guess in the back, I didn't even think it was a 2014 title. I figured, especially once Watch Dogs was pushed into this year, that it made no sense to have Watch Dogs and Assassin's Creed, because then, I mean, they do the thing, but what, are you going to have all three of them out next November?
Well, we're not going to have, well, this is the thing, though, is now we're getting Watch Dogs, in a couple of weeks' time, and then later this year, we're going to have, I mean, we haven't mentioned this yet, but we're going to have an Assassin's Creed game, and now they've told us that there's going to be a Far Cry game.
We're going to have two Assassin's Creed games.
Well, there we go, that makes it even worse.
And the crew. Which people tend to forget, but I can't blame them.
Yeah, I can understand.
Because we haven't seen anything other than that one trailer.
I think they came up with new stuff recently.
There was a little gameplay during E3, but it didn't look spectacular, let's say it this way.
So, I didn't even know they gave it a window, because I didn't know. It just seemed like, I guess I was used to Watch Dogs, where it's been announced 2 years ago, and it's just coming out now, so I kind of expected the same thing. That said, I figured if this was an anonymous developer or not, but I think one of the developers said that even 2015 is looking a bit optimistic at this point, which I think is really scary to say in May of 2014 that even a year and a half from now, we don't know if we're going to have enough time to get this out.
I think this is just going to become the norm for Ubisoft. They shit out Assassin's Creed games all the time, and then like whenever they have like a big surprise reveal at the end of their E3 press conference, that thing takes 3 years or whatever to come out.
Well, I think the worst thing is, like, a lot of these games
then it's out, the first game is out, and then they annualize it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of their system, is, like, once they get the hit, they can kind of out. The problem is that if it isn't, I mean, I guess they have enough brands to kind of keep them afloat. Like, they don't even, I think they consider Assassin's Creed and Just Dance their two big brands right now. I don't know how much longer Just Dance is going to exist, especially being that market no longer exists with the Wii. And we'll get to it a bit later with Microsoft and Kinect, and that was their two big markets. So I'm curious about that in the future. I guess more so that they said that, I think it came out that the crew and the division started pre-production in 2009, which means 5 and 6 years before the first game comes out.
That's a long time.
Yes, it is. It's an extremely long time and a huge money sink.
And this is the thing. Here's what I don't understand is, like, they can throw how many fucking people at Assassin's Creed, but, like, I don't...
I think the reason is that they rather have one team working for it on a longer time. I guess that's probably financially more viable than have, like, 10 teams... work on the game.
Probably, but like in the amount of people that they throw at Assassin's Creed games, we could have two The Divisions and two
Well,
the,
I, you know? I mean,
yeah, but you don't know at this point if those games will be a success.
I think financially it makes a lot more sense to, because then you can fit Assassin's Creed and you can just have that team go to work on the Division or whatever. And I also think from a creative standpoint, it makes more sense to have one team with one vision work on the game and then have people come in and support them and have a bunch of teams with a bunch of different objectives trying to create a new game. Like, Assassin's Creed has the original vision, it just has a bunch of technical support now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Even if that original vision's kind of blurry and messy now, it still has that vision.
There's somewhere, you might have to dig for it.
But it's still in there. Outside of Ubisoft, I guess...
There was something more about Ubisoft. Oh, I mean, yeah. I wanted to talk about more about Far Cry 4.
Yeah.
Okay,
First things first, I kind of disappointed to learn that it's another cross-gen title, which also even surprising to me. I would have guessed that Far Cry is one of those games they would move to just current-gen.
I would have thought that they would have done that because I know that the console version of Far Cry 3 wasn't great.
No, it ran like dog shit.
Yeah, and that game and Far Cry 3 looked fucking great if you had a PC that could handle it.
Yeah. It looked good on consoles, but it ran like 12 frames per second a lot of the time.
And I think Far Cry, I mean, coming off of... I mean, I know they come off of Crytek with Far Cry a long time ago, but I reckon Ubisoft could still use Far Cry as a sort of technical showcase.
I think
there are, you know, like, Ubisoft's very weird because Assassin's Creed isn't cross-gen, but I think we'll continue to see that at least through the end of the year, because as much as the systems are doing well, you still kind of have this huge gap of about 90 million systems, but I guess more.
Yeah, but on the other hand, we have already seen that the current-gen versions already outsell the last-gen version.
For some games, I think we...
All of them? Which one hasn't?
Because, I mean, what was it? Doesn't Call of Duty still sell better on the 360 than it does on the PS4 or the Xbox One?
Not over here.
Well, let's see.
I'm not sure about the US, but didn't over here.
I think the problem is...
Just real quick, Call of Duty sold better on 360 this month. Titanfall sold better on 360 this month. NBA 2K14 sold better on 360 this month. There go The Hobbit, there go The Movie, there go Marvel sold better on the 360, the PS3.
Okay. But let's say stuff like Thief was outsold by the current-gen versions.
Yeah, and it's not selling as well anymore. Assassin's Creed 4.
Battlefield, I think, also sold better. Another one.
Yeah, but the point is that the fact that they're still selling better on these systems 4 or 5 months later is probably why you still want to keep investing in this for now.
Yeah, probably. Although they will clearly be the inferior versions at this point.
Oh yeah, they will be, but they're
They're not going to be pretty, let's say it this way.
Yeah.
Especially considering Far Cry 3 wasn't great.
I'm just arguing from a financial standpoint.
Yeah. And the other thing, already there was a hubbub about the artwork for the game.
Oh, don't get me started on this.
This was a bad week for that. I mean, I don't really like to talk about that stuff. It's just so weird. But between that and the Mario Kart stuff,
the Mario Kart stuff I have no idea about, but let's be honest, if you don't think there's some racial undertones there in the Far Cry 4 cover art, you're weird. They're clearly there.
And see, this is the problem: is I didn't hear any about any racial claims of racial undertones. All I saw on my Twitter feed was people talking about, oh, that guy is so blatantly gay.
Please
inform the world what homosexual looks like, especially on a piece of artwork, you know.
That's weird. I saw that sometimes, but that's not something that popped to mind. My thing was just the whole picture set up with this white guy, like, in this destroyed statue. I think it's Himalayans, right?
Yeah.
And in one of these destroyed statues from the Himalayans, sitting in it as a throne, which is already like a symbol of colonialism taking over, and then having his hand on the head of a native, which is fearful, and has a grenade in his head.
See, I can kind of understand that. I can see why people would say it's questionable.
I was going to say, wouldn't it depend on what he is? Because I assume he's the villain of the game.
Well, we don't know. I mean, but we can only assume that, like, this is Ubisoft basically to going, oh yeah, people like the Far Cry 3 box art, so let's just do it again, but more. Yeah.
It doesn't really matter if he's a villain or not. It's the artwork to sell the game.
Yeah, I can understand why people would find that questionable,
I think it's questionable also in the sense that this is something that has to go through so many departments, and I just think it's weird that something like this can get through.
They probably thought it made him look evil. Like I said, I can see it now, but yeah, I was with Daniel. The thing I heard was like how he's so unquestionably gay.
I mean, this may be me coming from like a position of privilege or whatever, but I just think that the Far Cry 3 box art worked because it was simple, and it said, you didn't make it obvious that Vast was the villain, and then you find that out when you play the game, and it turns out that he's a right bastard, and I don't know, this box art is just so busy to me. Like, I prefer the simplicity of Far Cry 3's box art.
There was a different artwork with just the guy sitting in the statue with just weapons around him, without the native.
Yeah, I think I'd prefer that.
Yeah. It looked better, it was less busy, and at least you would get rid of the racist tones and would just have the colonial tones, so I guess that would be an improvement.
Okay, I said it when I Google image searched it. I didn't know if they had corrected it and changed it after this controversy came out. I didn't know it came out at the same time.
No, it seems to be like some other artwork, but the one with the native is the cover art for the game.
Yeah, because I always think that, like, even without these kind of controversies going around, especially if you have box art, less is more.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah. I get the idea. I guess it just didn't come off well if nobody knows anything. Like, if this is how you're going to reveal the game to the world, it's probably not the best message to send.
Yeah, I don't think had they released a trailer, we would have the same discussions. But
yeah, maybe so. With more context, it would have come out better. But yeah, at this point, it's weird and to some degree questionable. I'm not demonizing them completely. It's just...
Yeah.
Maybe I thought that a bit more before you did that, yeah.
I would also say my favorite comment is everybody says he looks like a fabulous Patrick Stewart. And once you see it, you can't unsee the fact that he does look like Patrick Stewart.
Yeah. Maybe in a different life.
And the last thing for Ubisoft was, I mean, I have talked, I think, about this on the podcast before, that they're open world games and their Tom Clancy games, both within their own niche, suffer from some homogenization in the game design. I mean, you can see influences from Assassin's Creed and Far Cry 3 and the other way around. And you can see, like, Splinter Cell stuff in the last Ghost Recon game and some of the Ghost Recon stuff in the latest Splinter Cell game. So it's really weird that I already wasn't a big fan that all the games in their specific niche are starting to feel the same. And, I mean, Watch Dogs also already, from some of the stuff we've seen, seems to do a lot of the things that Far Cry and Assassin's Creed has been doing. And apparently they have this new directive to make their games to up the engagement on the game so people spend more money on them and play them for longer. And it's like there was a slide to have like more social stuff. Everything has to have some form of multiplayer.
Yeah.
And all these things that they plan to do. And when you read it, it's pretty clear they want this across the board. So further modernization on Ubisoft games across the board now.
Great.
And I just don't think that's great. Have your games differ from one another, please. Not every game has to be the same.
Well, I feel like number 2, 3, and 4 kind of go together. Well, I guess 2, 3, and... because the 5 breakthroughs are some systematic gameplay, co-op and social, low barriers to entry, user-generated content, and analytics equals personalized experience.
Yeah.
But, yeah, their idea is that we don't need to make better games, we just need to make games that people want to pay more for.
Yeah.
Which is the trend
and
that we've
been... to every game.
Yeah. And not only that, but they're basically saying that we know how to turn these things out, so we're going to do it more often.
Oh yeah, that's another thing. They want to release more IPs every year.
Yeah, we will be able to release our franchises more and more regularly, providing solid visibility on our future revenue and profitability streams. So basically,
expect yearly Far Cry, Assassin's Creed, and Watch Dogs, I guess.
At this rate, I would expect more. I would expect two of each.
That's
one
sad.
In March and one... Yeah, it is.
It wasn't that long ago that we were talking about Ubisoft just being a video games factory, and, you know, I mean...
Yeah, and the sad thing is they still make my favorite third party.
Yeah. I mean, Far Cry, I mean, most of the other stuff that Ubisoft makes, I don't care about, but I really like Far Cry.
Yeah, I like Far Cry as well, but Assassin's Creed is really for me at this point. I'm not even sure if I want to play the new one.
I don't want to, like, if I could probably be alright if they alternate between, like, normal Far Cry and Blood Dragon, because that way I get a Blood Dragon every so often.
Yeah.
But, I really don't like, because, I mean, let's put it this way. Far Cry 3, who even, I've only just remembered that game has a co-op. And it has a competitive multiplayer.
I played it co-op once,
and it had a level editor as well. You know, like nobody gave a fuck about that. Like yep. in Far Cry 3, it was all of the emergent gameplay that was happening in the single player, and that's why anybody ever played Far Cry, for its emergent single player gameplay. And even Far Cry 2, a lot of people hated Far Cry 2, but the people that really liked it was the emergent stuff that went on in the single player. And it's just really sad that, like, if they're going to roll this across, it's obviously them going to be applying it to games that don't suit it. The same goes for Splinter Cell. People play Splinter Cell games because they like stealth. And
don't you want a level editor for your Splinter Cell?
And stealth and multiplayer don't go well together.
It doesn't, but they keep on trying it.
But they keep trying, exactly. And, I don't know, it's just really sad. Because Ubisoft has a very diverse lineup of games. I mean, what other publisher would you see something like South Park: The Stick of Truth, and something like Splinter Cell, and something like Far Cry, and something like
HQ? But
it seems like they try their best to get rid of that diversity.
Yeah, and it really sucks I think they have one of the most diverse lineups of the third-party publishers. I mean, Activision has nothing but Call of Duty and Skylanders. EA has Battlefield and then a bit more Battlefield and then Need for Speed and it's a shame that the Ubisoft just seek to destroy what is probably their best asset.
Well, you see, that's the thing, though. It's like if you can sell the same package over and over again in a different box, it works, which is why we're getting
also makes it easier to do with so many studios.
Yeah.
Because everyone already knows what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, Watch Dogs is basically Assassin's Creed in the current day. I assume the Division is like Watch Dogs, and I guess Watch Dogs would be Assassin's Creed in the future, and the Division would be Watch Dogs.
Division is more like Ghost Recon, but more lo-fi.
So yeah.
And then there's Far Cry, which is Watch Dogs set in a jungle with no hacking.
Yeah.
In first person.
In first person, yeah.
It's going to be exciting.
And we will climb towers and all of them.
So, is there anything else about Ubisoft?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. I wanted Blood Dragon 3 instead of Far Cry 4. That's a lot.
I would be okay with that if that's what they meant by, like, okay, like, if you took like the tyranny of King George or whatever they did with Assassin's Creed 3. If you made a game and then like the next year you just went batshit insane with the DLC,
yeah.
that's fine. But if it's like, okay, they're going to give you Assassin's Creed 3 this year, we're going to give you Assassin's Creed 4 next year, we're going to give you Assassin's Creed 4.5 this year, we're going to give you Assassin's Creed 5 and 5.5 next year, whatever, that's just a waste of time and effort, because it's the same game in different settings. It doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
Okay, just really quick before we switch over to Microsoft, this is old news, but I figured, since especially with Dan, you here, Pokemon, what is it, Omega Sapphire?
It's Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, which Nintendo, I know you're not good at naming games, so it should have been Alpha Ruby and Omega Sapphire, because you say it's the Alpha and the Omega, not the Omega and the Alpha, and you've always ordered R before S. So I don't know why they decided to do that, but I don't know. Anyway... I tell you what, about these two games, right? There is going to be fucking hell to pay if they remove the Battle Frontier and if they remove the Secret Base. I mean, let's put it this way. Street Pass Secret Bases. That is the best thing you could possibly do with fucking Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. And, like, how cool were the Secret Bases? I don't know if either of you, like, played Ruby and Sapphire.
Nope.
And
that was the generation I skipped.
Okay. All right. So Secret Bases, right? You could, if you had a Pokemon with a specific move, you could dig a hole into, like, certain holes into walls, and you could bury sort of into trees and stuff. And it was like, you get little rooms, and you can say, like, if you don't have a room, you can opt to have that as your secret base. And what your secret base is, it's just like a little room that you have that you can buy, like, dolls, and you can buy posters, and you can buy mats, and you can just customize it however you want, right? And it was cool to sort of, like, when you go and play with friends, you're like, oh, show me your secret base. Oh, that's really cool. In fact, I might actually use that cave as my secret base too. And it was really sweet. And they built on that in Diamond and Pearl, where they had, like, an underground area in the game, and you could tunnel into any wall in that area, and that would be your secret base. And then they took it out, and I was like, why? That's the best fucking shit. So if they don't have this in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, and if they don't hook it up to Street Pass, I'm going to be really upset, because it would be a major missed opportunity. And Game Freak likes to take features out of their Pokemon games, and, you know, add it back in, add the secret bases back in, and that would be fantastic. Because, like, it actually gives you a reason to check out what you get through the game in Street Pass. It's like, oh, their secret base is really cool, you know? And
which I have to say, for a game that influenced Street Pass, I found Pokemon X and Y to be lacking in that.
Exactly. They have, yep. There is no fucking Street Pass functionality in those games. It's ridiculous.
I had Street Pass with someone, and I didn't even know what it did.
So
I don't know what you...
I'll tell you what it does.
Poke miles, right?
It didn't seem like anything useful.
You get one Poke Mile, right? No, if you Street Pass somebody from a different region than you, it sort of does a mathematical equation, and it gives you Poke Miles based on how far away their region is from yours. But if you're Street Passing people, you're going to get people that are near to you. So that makes no sense. And for me, because there's just a region of England, if I Street Pass anybody in the country with the game, I get one Pokemile out of it, which is completely useless. I get more Pokemiles by playing the stupid games online, or just walking around in the game like I would do ordinarily.
Did a Pokemiles give you?
You can buy items with them on... There's a guy in the game that sells you items, but if you go on the Pokemon Global Link website, you can buy rare candies with them. And that's what I buy all the time.
Oh, I'll get into that. I just didn't know what it did.
That's what they do.
I always get notifications.
I was just confused by the whole thing.
it's so pointless in X and Y. So if you have these little customizable spaces that are shared over Street Pass, you could have space for only one of them, and I won't care. It will still be cool, you know? Just do that, Nintendo. Please.
Yeah, it's especially with that announcement of that game we checked out, the Pokemon, the Thousand Thieves and the Pokemon Street Pass game.
Yeah.
that would be an interesting addition.
Also, I'm still confused about why they couldn't come up with something more interesting with street passing with Pokemon, because yeah, I can already think like of a dozen things that I would do with street passing with Pokemon that would be more interesting.
It's mainly because all of the stuff that like they've done with previous Pokemon games that would have benefited from street pass, they just flat out removed from X and Y. Pokemon Black and White and Black and White 2, they had like a co-op mission mode. And you'd go out and do missions with people that were near... I mean, obviously, you'd have to be near to them. But that could have benefited from Street Pass. The secret bases, again, could have benefited from Street Pass. And, you know, they could have even done, like, a kind of... maybe, like, a Link Between Worlds kind of thing where it sends across that person's Pokemon team and you can fight a bot that has their team, you know?
Yes, that's what I was thinking about. Or you could they have the online trading, but you could still do a trading thing or a street pass.
Yeah, like, if you give me this, if I want this, I have that, and if it matches up, then it's what...
Exactly.
Yeah, or, like, you get random items off of people. Yeah.
Yep.
There's so many opportunities, and they wasted all of them.
I have no idea what happened there. Especially, like I said, it was one of the games that kind of influenced the design of the 3DS with, like, PokeWalker.
Yeah.
And... This is it.
Pokemon always manages to influence the next Nintendo consoles, because if you remember, Fire Red and Leaf Green had a wireless adapter.
Yeah. I mean, Pokemon was basically, I think, what gave him the idea for Street Pass, probably, because
Nintendo,
the game was all about interacting with people and
Nintendo,
trading and stuff.
I think it was Dragon Quest IX, they said, but the same idea, it's weird that they didn't follow through with it,
like,
on the actual Pokemon game.
All of Nintendo's most interesting multiplayer games are Pokemon games, because Game Freak does some really good stuff with multiplayer, but I don't know. They really screwed it up with X and Y, X and Y and Street Pass functionality. So I hope that
What are people calling it? Oris?
Oris.
It took me a while to figure out what that was. I felt bad when I finally did.
And we also saw a bit of those Pokemon from the cover.
Don't get me started on that. I stayed up watching this stream of the Japanese Pokemon Get TV or whatever it's called, right? And they had so many silly segments. I mean, I know it's a kids' TV show, but I was sitting there like, can we see Pokemon Oris now? And they showed us those cutscenes, and there wasn't any sound either, and I was just like, cheers, thanks for nothing. I stayed up for this.
Have you noticed that the lady didn't actually play those?
No, of course she didn't. No,
It was a video that just got piped in.
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
Also,
everyone knows how shitty Japanese TV is.
Yeah.
It's really shitty.
It's really shitty.
It's the same thing that happened with X and Y, because I think they showed off like Charizard X and Y on it one episode, and people watched. The greatest thing about it was, like, as soon as it aired, it was already on YouTube. I'm like, I checked up an hour and a half.
I hope we get to see more E3. If we don't, then that's just going to be a waste. Like, what's the point in me tuning into Nintendo's E3 digital event if they're not going to show Pokemon?
I don't even know if that's the E3 thing.
We don't know because we never find out what Nintendo are doing beforehand, because they're pretty good at keeping a lid on their secrets. So,
I'm just asking, because didn't they do a Pokemon only thing direct for the other games?
They did for X and Y, but that was I don't know when they did that. Actually, I can't remember.
They did several of them.
Yeah, they did several just for Pokemon. So
I think X and Y still had a Troya at their E3 last year. But yeah, I expect
I'm a Troya.
Yeah, I don't expect it to be a big focus, especially being that it's a remake.
Mm.
Look, I'll take anything that isn't just like box arts and then four to 8 seconds of soundless footage that wasn't even live, you know? I'll take anything more than that.
Well, I guess the thing I'm curious about is, like, you know the game, it's a remake, and you know what it's going to look like. It's going to look like X and Y.
Yeah.
What do you want this Troy to show?
I just want any footage.
Maybe new features, if they add new features.
Oh, if you browse the Pokemon subreddit, you'd know that us Pokemon fans, we just fucking will eat anything up, right?
Yes, I've tried
it. We know what's coming. We know exactly what it's going to be, but still, we want it. We want it. We will eat anything up that Nintendo would give us. I even have space. I have a Pokemon folder on my 3DS, right? I moved over the icons to give two spaces just for those two games. Come on.
That is so sad. moving on.
Pokemon, man.
Yes.
Pokemon fans, they're crazy.
They are, we are.
And they're still not the worst Nintendo fans. I still say that's Zelda fans.
Well, the thing is we don't, like, Pokemon fans don't tend to complain a whole lot.
Because you get Pokemon games all the time. It
yeah, like, they give us, for the most part, what we want, which is just more Pokemon games.
So, and they give you also a bunch of other Pokemon things.
Yeah.
It's the one Nintendo franchise that I would say that they satiate their fans. Like, you get toys, you get TV shows, you get movies. Like, there's no reason to ever say, like, it's not Metroid. Pokemon isn't dead. You got a Pokemon game 6 months ago. You're getting a Pokemon game 6 months from now.
Yeah, there's always something Pokemon coming.
But I said that I would never invest in a franchise that went yearly, but, like, Pokemon is pretty much yearly at this point.
Yeah, it is.
Fuck it, I love it.
Well, I mean, it's Pokemon's. I mean, it is, but I would also say it's a year and a half. It's about 18 months, which is still kind of bit much, but it is more reasonable, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it was
Take it.
Yeah. Anyhow, before we run too long, Microsoft. Microsoft at E3. Microsoft had a big week this week. A huge week this week. And we'll start with the big one. They announced that they're doing a Kinect-less Xbox One, starting at $399 for us, and I don't know what price for you folks.
And it's
€399.
And it's £350, which ironically is basically what people are selling the Titanfall bundles for anyway. So,
well, yeah, you can find a Titanfall bundle for $400.
And here's the thing I have with this, right, is, okay, they got rid of the thing that people don't necessarily want, but number one, they said that Kinect was integral to the system. And also, here's a side note, how do you record without Kinect now? How does that work?
How do you just record?
I think it works, but it's more complicated.
The way you do it is you say, Xbox, record that, and it just sort of takes the last 5 minutes or so of footage. Whereas, how would you do that now without a Kinect?
I assume button prompts. There's going to be a lot of stuff they have to rework.
Well, at least Sony thought to put a button on the controller that does that.
The whole thing, though. The whole UI is kind of shitty. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
The UI is kind of shitty, and to compensate for the shitty UI, you have the Kinect.
Yeah.
And now, when the Kinect is gone, you're there with just the shitty UI, which is very complicated to navigate with just a gamepad.
Well, they have.
Trust me, I tried.
They have about a month to go to fix all this, so I imagine we'll get a big patch around then.
I would hope.
Yeah, I also think, I mean, I understand why, but I also think it's terrible to announce a price cut this steep a month before you do it, because sales is just going to bottom out for the next 3 weeks.
Well, you know why? The sales were not good.
They were great to begin with, but just like 3 weeks of stalled sales is kind of a drag.
Apparently it was worth it for them, because they already knew, yeah, well, this is not going to sell anyway, so let's do this now.
Another problem I have with this, I mean, I'm not a fan of the Kinect, right? I'm going to make that clear now. But, like, the Xbox One hasn't even been out a year yet, and already they've basically put it to death.
Nobody's
going to develop for Kinect now.
Imagine what was 1 year ago, and what the Xbox One will be in June.
Yeah.
It's not the same. At all.
I will say this much. I give them credit for that. I give them credit for realizing the problems and just deciding to, instead of, I mean, you could, I mean, I, you know, like, I'm a fan of Nintendo. I will defend them. But they are, you know, like, people want a gamepad, just Wii U or something, to drop the price. They have their vision and they're sticking with it, for better or worse. Microsoft sees that they're losing market share and they're using it quickly, so they're like, we'll change what we need to change. And I think the big thing with Microsoft is that they can also say, because they have new leadership, it can be like, this isn't our vision. We want a clear, distinct vision of, this is all about the games.
Yeah, but this is also not really what they're saying. They always have this weird thing of, yeah, we are not really changing things, you know? Kinect is still really important to us.
But it's not.
But it's not. Honestly speaking, I said this last year, I think. The moment they said that it was no longer mandatory to have Kinect hooked up was the moment they asked it.
I don't think so. Honestly, I don't think so, because, like, obviously, I mean, you can see by all these Call of Duty trolling videos that people still had the Kinect hooked up.
People had it hooked up, but once you said that it's no longer mandatory, like, you know, when it was originally announced, you had to have Kinect plugged in at all times. And then once you kind of, it's like, okay, you know what, we don't need to develop anything for it. We don't need to have these functions. It's cool, like you said, to navigate the UI, and there are functions that are tied to it. But, I mean, even 6 months after launch, there are, what, this one Kinect game?
Well, the thing is, though, is you need to give people time to make the games, especially if it's a new thing.
Apparently no one was interested in making it.
But how much time is it? The device is 5 years old now.
Kinect 1 and Kinect 2 are not the same thing, though.
They're not the same thing.
Because people needed to have time to get over to the new hardware, and obviously, with the Xbox One in particular, they're having some issues adjusting to the new hardware spec, right? And not only that do they have to adjust to the new hardware spec, but they also have to figure out, okay, what is it this new Kinect can do for our games? And they haven't given them time to do that. Instead, what they've done now is they've just cut its head off and said, you know what, we're not going to sell consoles with it anymore. I mean, well, we're going to make you buy a Kinect with an Xbox One anymore. So, you know what, because people didn't want it, so that means that nobody's going to buy a Kinect now, and that means that nobody's going to buy, there's no point in you investing in it.
No, there is, but, I mean, at the same time, like, how many people had games announced for Kinect? Like, I have no idea
what would have come, though. This is
we have no idea. And like I said, I kind of...
Yeah, but if Kinect was this integral thing, you would have hoped that they had at least games to announce for it as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole point. And if you don't even have games to announce for it, then there's something wrong. I mean, they had Kinect Sports.
They had that shit game from the people that made Fighters Within as well.
Yeah.
And they had Just Dance, I imagine.
Yeah,
but then
there's... I know that there still is Disney Fantasia.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And they seem really happy with that.
Yeah, they seem ecstatic. Full of joy.
Yeah, but yeah, like I said, I agree with you. I thought that I was a supporter of... If you believe in a product, you put it in there for better or worse. This is what Nintendo's doing with the gamepad. It's what Microsoft did with Kinect. And, you know, like, maybe you don't have a clear vision for it, but let's say any developer gets in there and they toy away and they find something and it hits gold. Then you had something, but now you don't. You fragmented the audience because you're going to have 5 million people who have it, and then you're going to have the rest of them who don't. So there's really no reason to develop for it because it's not the majority of the user base.
And you know, also... The fucking hubris that comes out of Microsoft. Here's the thing about Microsoft that I hate nowadays, is they can't admit when they're wrong, right?
No.
They say, okay, we weren't selling Xbox Ones like we really anticipated we were. Let's take Kinect out of the box and then drop the price to account for that. Maybe we'll sell some more. And then they go ahead and say, oh, we'll still prove to you the worth of the Kinect. No, you're not. You're not going to be able to do it now. Like, if people claim, like, there are people out there, I mean, I've spoken to one of them, there are people out there that claim that cynicism destroyed the reputation of the previous Kinect. It's going to do the same again, even if somebody manages to prove it's worse.
The one thing I wanted to say on that is that even if you now have a standout game that people would want like to play, a lot of people might jump into an Xbox One because of the cheaper price without the Kinect, and then they see... Oh, there's this one interesting game. That looks cool. Oh, I need to pay another $100 for that thing just to play that game.
And look how it turned out for Guitar Hero.
I don't think so.
Look how that turned out for Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
I mean, it can work. I mean, it works. I mean, because it's on the opposite side of this. You see that there's a huge demand for, like, the PlayStation 4 camera. Because
that thing is pretty cheap, though.
I thought it was still, like, $50-$60.
Well, and the thing is,
it's probably cheaper than whatever the Kinect.
No, it's going to be cheaper than Kinect, but it's not cheap.
I think the demand for the PlayStation 4 camera, I think, is a completely different ballgame because people want a PS4 camera because they want to stream on Twitch, and you can do that in any game.
Yeah. Can you not stream on? I thought you can stream on Xbox One now.
Yeah, now.
Yeah, but I don't know if it has. I don't think it has face cam like the PS4 does.
I'm not sure.
It has a giant camera right there.
And you need... I don't know. I just think that the accessibility of Twitch streaming on PS4 seems to be...
Also, the thing from is here, I think, just Sony was first.
Yeah, and also, and this is it, is even if I wanted to Twitch stream, you have to remember that the PS4 camera, we've just said this, a PS4 camera is like, what, $50? And the Kinect is not. Even if I wanted to switch on Team One Xbox One, I'm not buying a £150 camera.
Yeah, like I said, it was a tough situation for them to be in. Like, I understand that they had a vision, and I really would. I do support it. I always support when somebody comes out with something new and different. And I do think Kinect has potential. The fact of the matter is, it's been 5 years. It's only so much you can say it has potential before it's just it's an anchor around your neck. And I think it was a good call. It's not too late in the generation. The gap between that and the PS4 aren't that huge that they can't overcome it with good software by the end of this year. And it puts them on price parity, so what you're really left with now is mostly games and where your friends go. And I think while there are people, you know, there is a huge, there's what I think a 2-3 million need with the PlayStation 4, I do think that this fall is going to be very important for both of them, especially with developing online communities, because as much as Titanfall has done, I still don't think there's been that one online game from either one of them that has cemented this is going to be my online.
And there won't. I tell you right now, there won't.
I mean,
the game that will drive online communities on these titles will be one that's a third-party game, and I have my money personally on Destiny.
Yeah, that's where I'm looking at too. And I mean, right now Sony has that Destiny as their, like, people associate Destiny with the PlayStation 4. And
yeah, they have that marketing deal.
Yeah, that's
basically the Call of Duty deal.
Yeah, so we shall see. Like I said, and I think the other thing that came out with this was the news about the Xbox Live Gold apps, which I was about damn time.
This annoys me so much because, I mean, let's put it this way, right? I mean, everybody's been saying since the dawn of time that Microsoft should have not put stuff like Netflix behind a paywall. And the BBC have said before that they weren't going to put BBC iPlayer on the 360 because Microsoft wanted to charge for it, and they are not legally allowed to charge for their services because people already paid for them. And then here's the thing that I realized is, like, if I had an Xbox One and I didn't want to pay Xbox Live Gold because Microsoft required me to for Netflix, I could go and buy a Chromecast for less than that Xbox Live Gold subscription would cost, and I get to use that forever and a day and get Netflix through it in HD.
Yeah, or you can use your computer. Like, it made sense for a time when they were the only ones who did it. Like, as I don't know about you folks, but there was about a year where Xbox 360 was the only console that had Netflix. That
but then after
sense.
That, it was on everything that had a screen.
Yeah, and then it became harder and harder
even
to justify.
Even on things that don't have a screen, because technically consoles don't have a screen.
I mean, the 3DS has a fucking Netflix app if you're in North America, for God's sake.
I don't worry, I've never used that, but yes, it does. I never got Netflix on, like, a mobile, like, a phone or on a screen that tiny, but I guess if you're desperate. But yeah, the fact of the matter is that it finally took them this many years to decide that we're no longer going to do it. Also,
I love Microsoft's definition of listening, because they said, oh yeah, we're listening, we're going to make all the Xbox One apps free. Yeah, except for those free-to-play games, you still have to pay to get access to those. Fuck off.
Well, see, that I kind of understand, and this is going to, because you have to pay for online, so it's like you can, I guess you can, I mean, I assume the free-to-play games are multiplayer games.
Yeah, well,
they don't have to, technically.
Huh? Like, there aren't many...
Technically, a free-to-play game doesn't have to be a multiplayer game.
But no, it doesn't have to be, but all the ones on Xbox are.
Most of them are, yeah, but it completely defies the point of them if you're paying something somewhere to... I mean, yes, you could say you're paying for the access to the internet, but that's just to carry the data through the tubes.
Microsoft is not touching that data at all.
Also, the point is, your competition doesn't do that.
Well, yeah. I mean, technically, you have to pay for PlayStation Plus to play free-to-play games on that.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
Then how do you... You don't... You just... Okay.
It's only retail
games to play online.
Retail games you have to pay for up front. To play those online, you need PS Plus. But free-to-play games are free.
Okay,
completely.
Even if you want to play Final Fantasy 14 online, you don't have to have PlayStation Plus.
Oh. But that would be different.
Because it's the game you play a monthly subscription for.
Yeah.
I mean, this is another thing.
Nintendo has free-to-play multiplayer games that are free-to-play, and yet Microsoft doesn't. What is going on in this bizarro world where Nintendo seems to understand these things more than Microsoft?
Well, okay, baby steps. The other thing, which was not as nice, I guess, but we're accustomed to this, is that they really were really hush-hush on how they're making Xbox games with gold, more like PlayStation Plus. Because
it's basically
now,
not a carbon copy.
Yeah, so
and
now
it's basically them bringing back partly bringing back their initial digital vision that nobody liked as well.
Shh, nobody's paying attention to that. But yeah, this is now you get games, but you can only keep them as long as you remain an active subscriber of Xbox Live Gold. I believe that's only for the Xbox One. I don't believe it's retro to the
that's
Xbox.
That's because nobody cares about Xbox 360 games. You can get them dirt cheap if you wanted to anyway.
Hey, also, the games
they put out on 360 are like 3 to 5 years old. So.
Dark Souls 1.
Hey, I'm excited to try all of those games. I haven't played any of them.
Well, that's your fault.
Not my fault. I was waiting for them to be free. But
you weren't waiting for those to be free. Would not have played them if they never were free.
Oh, you're the one who keeps complaining about driving the cost down of games because people just wait for them to go free on PS Plus. Now you're just as bad.
Oh no. Let me just clarify that. I complain about that. But as a consumer, it's in my best interest.
Yes, of course, it's your best interest. As soon as you benefit from it, you're like, oh, yeah.
Oh, it's in my best interest as a consumer. I'm just arguing from a business standpoint. It's very bad if people expect to pay.
Devil's advocate, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if I buy most of my games on discount, that's why I know about these things. I know that I can wait a month to get Titanfall for $25 or something like that instead of spending $60 on it. That's great for me. I'm a... But as a business, you don't want it to be like where people get accustomed to, like, we can pay up front or we can just wait 2 days and it'll be like 50% off or something like that.
Anyway, Gold now the same. Every month, free game on Xbox One. I think 2 games a month is what it looks like. And also discounts for Gold members.
It's really strange how, like, we've gotten to a point where everybody was saying, oh, yeah, Xbox Live is way better than PSN. I can't even believe you put up with that shit. Because I remember PSN, like, the games don't even have... On PS3, this is. The games, there's no unified friends list. Like, the games have to handle that shit.
Yeah.
And now we have the opposite. Like, oh, I can't believe that Microsoft has only just made it so you get free games subscription. I can't believe Microsoft has only just made it so you don't have to pay for Netflix.
Well, I think again, it was kind of the arrogance of the 360, where they were, I mean, without a doubt, it was the best show in town for the first 4 or 5 years. I mean, online remained best on 360 throughout the generation, not, you know, excluding PC. But by the end of it, like, PlayStation Plus became a value because you got freebies with it. And not necessarily, people didn't ignore the problems with their multiplayer stuff, but that was fixed with this. And Microsoft went steps back. Not only did they have stuff that Sony were giving you as part of your subscription, they didn't have stuff Sony was giving you, but they also kind of took steps back on the stuff they featured with the 360. Like, I believe that a unified, not a unified, like, party chat wasn't something that was there at launch. And stuff like that. So there are features that you kind of come to expect 360 that hasn't carried over or didn't carry over as well. So, yeah, that's the big thing with this change. And again, really, at the end of the day, what it's going to come down to, it's going to be that game that Microsoft, Sony, or whoever comes up with that really defines what online gaming is in this generation. Because right now, we're just basically getting better versions of games we got last gen.
And sort of kind of segueing quite nicely, I don't think that this that Halo 5 is going to cut it as well this time.
No, I don't think... I mean, Halo... I think Halo as
we should maybe first say, like, Halo 5 has been announced. It's called Halo 5 Guardians.
Oh, which is...
Or was Guardians?
Yeah, Guardian. Which is a terrible name. I mean,
it's coming out fall next year.
I really thought they'd learnt about terrible subtitles once they come up with Combat Evolved, but Guardians.
I was about to say, I thought it was weird, because they don't usually do subtitles for their numbered games.
Well, yeah. And this is it. It's the only reason why they had a subtitle for Halo 1 is because, if I recall correctly, Microsoft wasn't happy with the idea that some people had thought it would be a religious game based on the name Halo.
Ah.
So they subtitled it Combat Evolved.
But the subtitle came in really late.
Yeah. So, yeah, and which is why none of them are yet, apart from maybe like Reach and ODST. Which
yeah,
are,
but those aren't numbered ones.
Yeah,
that's what
they're spin-offs.
Okay. And we'll get to that in a second with the other rumor, which is why I was thinking about that.
343.
Let's talk more about Halo 5 first. I think Halo 4 already didn't sell as well as the previous games, right?
I think it sold more sort of on an immediate basis than the others did.
Yeah.
Obviously, the problem 4 had was...
It couldn't retain its online user base.
No, it couldn't retain its online user base. If anybody doesn't know this, that Halo 3, after a year, had 1.1 million people playing the game. Halo Reach, after a year, had 900,000 people playing the game. And Halo 4 had 20,000, which is nothing.
Yeah, that's a harsh drop-off.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Still sold well, but I think a lot of people in the community were kind of disappointed with where the game went.
Yeah, 343, they made an okay game. They made a terrible Halo game, and they need to really figure out what it was that Bungie did that made Halo Halo with Halo 5, if they want it to be this sort of one standout multiplayer game for Xbox Live, because otherwise it's just not going to happen. People already, like, I'm sitting here like an admitted Halo fanboy, and I'm not excited about this game.
Okay, on that note, what was the point of this announcement?
It was probably just to get it out before somebody would leak it.
Yeah, but they already teased it last year, so it's not like it was, oh man, like we knew it was coming.
Because, like, I've seen...
Because you always want your own messaging.
Yeah, I've seen
a
lot
that,
of people...
But they didn't give a message.
I've seen a lot of people saying, oh, are we going to get Halo 5 this year, or are we going to get it next year? This is just to put that to bed.
I don't know. I think, like, they will give us, like, a trailer this year, I guess, but... It seems to me like it's something to get out of the way, because it's not going to be a big part of their showing it.
Yeah, we'll get an announcement trailer like they usually do, because they usually do announcement trailers for Halo games a year before.
Yeah, but we already got the announcement trailer, which is my point.
No, that was just to say, we haven't forgotten about Halo.
Yeah, but I guess that was my point. It's like, this was just like, oh, it's Halo 5 and it's nicknamed Guardian. Here's some concept art. And I'm like, I don't get the... I guess they want to pair it with the good news of the price drop, where it's like, your favorite brands are coming to the system at
it's
some point.
It's also there to raise awareness. So right now, a lot of the other guys are hush-hush about the free plans.
And
free games. So now you already have some awareness from people who are into Halo, who are like, Halo, coming next year, great. More stuff at E3, cool. So I tune in to Microsoft or pay attention to what Microsoft is doing at E3.
And this is it, it's not like Microsoft is the only company that's done this in the last 3 weeks, because Nintendo did it with ORAS, and Ubisoft did it with Far Cry 4.
Yeah, I guess the difference with that is one's a remake, so that makes sense not to focus on it too much. And the other one, I mean, Far Cry, was it not already announced, or am I mistaken in that regard?
No, they announced it the other day.
Okay, I thought it was already known that it was in production.
No.
Yeah, okay. Known, but not announced.
Okay. So, yeah, I guess, you know, it makes some sense. Like, I get the idea of getting some stories out ahead of E3. I've always understood that. What I guess the difference here is, like, with Far Cry, it's out this year. That makes sense. This is out a year and a half from now. You already teased it
last year.
Like I said,
it's to get awareness. It's to get eyeballs. And it's not just get the eyeballs for Halo, but get the eyeballs for Halo that then also see all the stuff that we have this year.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, Microsoft's, it's no secret that Microsoft's concentration on this E3 is the video games. And this is just to say, oh yeah, look, you know, we said that... The RE3 is going to be about games. Well, here's a game, you know? It's a Halo game.
So that's probably going to be at E3. You should really pay attention to that. Nuts.
Okay, kind of to parade is what we're talking about in speculation, but the rumor is, and this is a really big rumor that we're pretty much taking as fact, but we won't report as much, is that Halo the Master Chief Collection is coming out this fall, which would collect Halo 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah, it's a really crappy name, just so they can get rid of ODST and Reach.
Yeah. but here's my thing. Why not announce this one? Because, again, it's a remake, and it's like, this is out this year. This is the type of announcement I think you make pre-E3, because as if it's $60, it's a hell of a deal, but...
But is it something you will pay attention to at E3? Or do you want to tune in to their press conference because of a collection of their old games?
But that's my point, though. It's like, why save that for E3, then? Why not do that now?
Doesn't get the same attention. You don't
want
to tune in.
I think if you say we're doing the Halo the Master Chief Collection this year, stay tuned to E3 for more on the future of the Halo brand. That gets the same idea.
I'm with Martin on this one, because I could go pick up Combat Evolved Anniversary, Halo 2, Halo 3, and Halo 4 for less than $60 now if I wanted to.
And I get that. My point is, if this rumor is true, which we all kind of are in agreement that this has to be true now.
Pretty much, yeah.
What's the point of saving it for E3? Is it going to excite you then?
No, that's not the point, though. The point isn't to excite you then. The point is that they have something now that gets you to tune in then.
Yeah,
it's not their Halo collection that they're excited about to sell you. Of course they are, but they're more excited to show you than... more of Sunset Overdrive, more of Forza Horizon 2.
What they do is they use Halo 5 to bring people in. They'll show Sunset Overdrive and the Quantum Break and stuff like that.
And then they throw in the Halo 5.
They'll show a Halo 5 trailer, and then they'll say, oh, just so you've got something that's Halo related to buy this year, buy the Master Chief Collection. Is coming out in 2 weeks.
I still think it would have made more sense to do it backwards and announce this and then say you're going to talk more about the future of the brand at E3.
Yeah, but that's not exciting.
Microsoft needs exciting now. They need to get as much good press as they can before.
And I think, personally speaking, maybe we're getting that with Sunset Overdrive. I think a lot of people seem to be impressed and coming out of that game positive. I know Martin's not a fan, but...
Yeah, I think it looks pretty boring.
A lot of the previews seem to be excited about that. Granted, it's a new IP and that's harder to sell. I just think that... I guess we can talk about... what do you expect them to show at E3? We're going to see...
We'll have the usual...
Forza Horizon 2 is what we'll get.
We'll get the usual Call of Duty gameplay.
Call of Duty gameplay, yes. That's what we will be getting. We will get... a 30-second Halo 5 thing. The reveal of the Halo Master Chief Collection. Something Fable. Because, got a Fable, doesn't matter if nobody cares anymore.
We'll have some extended gameplay of Sunset Overdrive as well.
Yeah, Sunset Overdrive gameplay, exactly.
And we'll see more of Quantum Break.
Gameplay, I would suspect, yeah.
And we'll have Relic.
But there has to be another third party gameplay thing. I'm not sure who that
will
be.
It will probably be EA related.
Well, I think I could be mistaken, but I would imagine it might be a big Japanese game because they still have to launch the Xbox One in Japan this year.
Yeah, right. It might be the rumored Platinum
or
Xbox One title, or D4. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. D4.
D4 is the the guy that made Deadly Premonition.
Oh,
he's making a Kinect game now. So,
well, now it's also playable with a gamepad.
Oh, there, yeah, yes. Nobody wants a Kinect. Nobody wants it.
just letting people know, it's now officially also playable.
By the way,
with a
D4 looks pretty sweet. I wouldn't buy a Kinect for one game, but it looks like a cool use of Kinect.
You don't have to.
Yeah, you could probably buy it secondhand from all the people who are selling it now.
But I Yeah, EA third party, maybe. I mean, there is this rumor of a police-based Battlefield.
Yeah,
so that kind of goes against the name, though, doesn't it?
I know. Let's just roll with it, okay? which is apparently developed by Visceral Games. I mean, it's no secret that they are working on a Battlefield game. I mean, hirings basically show that. So if they maybe strike another deal with Microsoft, like they did with Battlefield 4, for at least one DLC, that might be something then they show on their stage.
Okay. Assassin's Creed, or is that... No, Assassin's Creed, Sony.
Assassin's Creed, definitely Sony. And, of course, Ubisoft's own.
Do we see anything of Gears of War? Because they were teasing concept
art. There
will
be like a 30-second...
Yeah, like a super teasery thing. Yeah. Like you remember how Halo 2 teaser, which was just Master Chief talking and then jumping out of the ship?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Actually, is it the Gears of War 2 or 3 teaser that's just like the chainsaw, like the comic book style? That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect something major. That game basically just started production.
That'd be a surprise. That game that you knew was going to come from us eventually is coming eventually.
What about GTA 5? Is that at Microsoft or Sony's?
No,
that'll be Sony's, because if it's at all, it'll be at Sony's, because... I only ever saw the PlayStation 3 logo whenever I saw a GTA 5.
I'm going with neither.
This is me saying if it happens, I don't...
Well, I was just... Because, I mean, we didn't mention
Rockstar.
Because Rockstar
doesn't need them.
Well, yeah, okay, as I was about to say, we didn't mention Rockstar or Take-Two, but they also came out this week, and it was like, Rockstar is going to have a current-gen game coming out this fiscal year, and it's like... They never said it was a new game, so everybody's just pinpointing it's a GTA 5 update.
Yeah, but what people don't seem to understand is this fiscal year means any time within the next 11 months.
Yeah, but...
But still, for Rockstar, it's fast.
Yeah. I mean, it's not... Like, if Rockstar was a company that made a game every year, people would be like, oh, this could be a new game, but...
Yeah, exactly.
Would
love it if they had a Rockstar game every year, because the financials this year were great.
Yeah. Which is, I think we've had this discussion before. Anytime a GTA game came out, their financials is awesome. The next 3 or 4 years, it's going to be, I guess this year might be different if they do the upport onto the current gen systems.
Yeah, I expect this will be the upport and probably fall.
I don't know if this is funny or sad, but we've pretty much named all of Microsoft's brands to be at this year's E3, and I'm like, it's not a lot of games.
But not all of them will be in a very showable state, and the sad thing is, it's more of the same.
The thing is Microsoft is a very predictable company.
Yeah, they have a very thin roster of franchises.
Yeah, what's not their own franchise is basically just a third-party game they bought in.
Yeah, so, I mean, are we going... Is there any studio that they have right now that could be working on something new?
No, because they're working on Gears of War right now.
Yeah.
Unless they're just saying to Rare, look, we've given up on Kinect, stop making Kinect games, go back to making proper games, please.
Yeah. Black Tusk was supposed to work on something new, but no, they have a Gears studio.
Yeah.
Who else do they have?
They have Rare, like we just said. They have
Lionhead, but that's Fable.
Lionhead, they're definitely going to make a Fable thing. And Twisted Pixel.
They won't make a shit game this time.
Twisted Pixel, I could see. But it will probably be... I don't think they've done a retail release yet.
The Gunstringer, when that came out.
Also, Lococycle, I think, was also sold on disc, right?
Oh, okay. I thought those were both. But neither one of those were that great, especially from what I heard. Big Park does Kinect. Black Tusk is doing Gears of War. They really do not have that many diverse teams.
Yeah.
Today.
They never have.
Yeah.
They never have, but I mean...
All the stuff that most people liked was like either Halo or stuff they just...
It was Halo, Gears, and Forza at the end of the day.
Who does Crackdown?
That's not an internal studio.
Yeah.
It was Ruffian. It was Real Time Worlds, and then Ruffian after that.
Yep. And okay, yeah. So I assume they're probably working on a bunch of partnerships. I hope, because they need to. Even though I have to imagine it would probably be cheaper to buy.
Yeah. Well, on the other hand, how many people will now go for the sale of their third-party game? I mean, after they've seen the numbers.
Well, I mean, if Microsoft's flipping the bill, I don't see the problem with that.
Well, depends. If they're not paying as much money as you could make on multiple systems, then...
Yeah, but the problem is, like, you still... You know, like, it's... Like, I assume for them, it's probably more money.
That's usually why third-party exclusives died last generation. They were there at the beginning, but after that, like, one year or... Yeah, basically after the first year, they were kind of done.
Yeah, like I said, most of those were Microsoft paying, and I can see them doing that again in certain regards, but I honestly don't. Like, I don't even... Like, it's not like a company...
I mean, Titanfall didn't do much for them.
Titanfall did well enough.
It wasn't anywhere near as big as they wanted it to be or made it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's hard to say because, I mean, for a franchise that does nearly $2 million in a month, it's in the States alone. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
but it's not selling systems, is it?
Yeah.
No, and that's what I mean. Like, Titanfall itself has done really well. This early in the generation, well, I guess it's not, because I'm counting the 360 sales as well in this. But
we don't know if it's done really well. We know it's done okay.
Well, I mean, like I said,
because they didn't come out with official numbers.
Yeah, but we know it sold about $1 million in the States in the first month, and it sold about 100,000 on the Xbox One, and then a bit more on the Xbox 360 this past month.
I'm just saying that because I'm always suspicious of success if the companies involved don't want to give you numbers.
Well, I feel like it's probably that. I think it's probably that case where people probably expected it to be this huge, massive brand right out of the gate, and like doing $2 million in its opening month is impressive, but it's nothing special, especially from if it's not selling hardware. And it's like it doesn't seem to have a long tail because based on second month, sales dropped 90% or something.
Well, not only that, it's, based on testimonials of people that play the game, it just still doesn't have a long tail for those people. So.
Yeah, that's what I mean, because that was the intention. If you get people in there and they talk about it and their friends want to pick it up, but what happened is, like, 3 or 4 weeks after it came out, nobody's really playing it anymore. And, like, this DLC, like, we talked about at the start of the show, you were happy to have it, but like you said, it's not a good value and it doesn't add anything to the game that fits.
I read, actually, that the PC community is kind of dead, or close to dead.
Let's put it this way. I don't think Capture the Flag mode exists on the PC version at all anymore.
Yeah, I heard of people that have trouble getting full matches.
Let me boot the game up and I'll have a look, because if that is true, that spells trouble for the PC version of the game.
Yeah. I heard that's something that happened. So, apparently, it didn't hold people for that long of time.
I mean, the thing is Titanfall is a weird game. I'm playing off a bit, but people seem to be really confused about what the game needs. Because I was speaking to somebody about this, and they said, oh, there's no content. There's nothing. There's like only like 10, 15 guns. And I was like, yeah, but you have to remember that you're coming off of Call of Duty, which has like 30 guns or something, and most of them aren't useful. And Call of Duty just doesn't have depth to it. Whereas,
and I think that's the problem here. It's like this doesn't. It's a lack of depth across the board. It's three modes. It's basically kill people until you. Like, you know, Call of Duty, hell, he has a certain amount of weapons, but it has a ton of perks.
Yeah.
Like, this is like, you have a set number of weapons, you don't have perks, you have the burn cards, and you have four titans, so there isn't a ton of options, and from what I understand, everybody kind of has the one combination that they realize works, and they stick with it, because there's no reason not to.
And I think actually, the problem that Titanfall has, I think they just is because they didn't put a campaign in the game.
Well, because
there's not even an interesting story to go.
I have been telling it all the time, that this for $60 as just a multiplayer title is not enough what they delivered.
And there were people who said that it was, but I think evidence has shown that there wasn't enough content justify the price, or people would probably. But I think the other thing is like people just aren't as engaged with it as they hoped because, like you said, it's not a thriving community anymore, which is sad 2 months in, especially being that it's a very dry. Like, it's not even like it's a ton of competition right now. Like, I could understand if like, Call of Duty was coming out, Halo was coming out, Destiny were all coming out. But no, it's 2 months of no competition. But yeah, I'm hoping that Microsoft, like, I don't necessarily need new IPs, but Microsoft has a ton of IPs they're sitting on, mostly from Rare, but, you know, they could do a new Perfect Dark. Maybe they'll do a new Brute Force, because everybody remembers that game.
I'm going to tell you right now, Rare's going to put up more Kinect games.
Oh yeah, we also forgot about Project Spark.
Yeah.
Does it? Like, I don't. Did anyone even care about that? Like ever?
I think that was the best reaction to that. Yeah. I thought it interesting, but I.
And that's the thing is, it's interesting, but like, I'm a person who that's not aimed at because if I really wanted to, I could go and make a game properly and put it on, like, and sell it if I wanted to.
That's the problem with those type of games.
Like the people, a lot of people that aren't like me that can't go and make a game and sell it if they wanted to, like they're just not that interested in making games, you know?
Yeah, I don't think that game is going to make any kind of splash. To be honest, I mean, I honestly I forgot about the game until you mentioned it.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of something or a studio they can have that's going to announce something different. Because if this is basically E3 2013 Part 2, where it's just updates on games you announced last year, that's going to be really disappointing. And they're like, this is all about the games. And
well, it isn't technically. It's just that we know some stuff, like Forza Horizon 2. It's technically a new game, but it's not like, oh wow, you're making another Forza. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm thinking of stuff like Sunset Overdrive, which they announced last year. Gears of War,
which they've announced. Of course, not their own game, technically.
You know, like I mentioned, they already teased Halo last year to get an update. They teased Quantum Break, and we haven't seen anything new on that. Like, I mean, I assume Rare could have something. I mean, I always hope Rare has something, but they couldn't even do an update to their own game with Clear Instance, so who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe they'll have a Clear Instance Season 2.
They will do, because Dave Lang's company is handling that now.
Yeah.
They could have, I mean, maybe we'll see an update to Rise that has good gameplay now.
I think that Crytek is too busy to make Homefront 2 a game.
I forgot. I was going to say that I actually forgot that Homefront 2 was announced like 3 years ago.
Please, I can never forget that Homefront 2 was announced because of what it's replacing.
It's hilarious.
There is no capture the flag mode in the PC version of Titanfall at all. It is gone.
Maybe Harmonix? Well, I guess Dance Central wouldn't really be a thing without...
No, they have their Kinect title is...
the Fantasia. Which we... It's out. Is that out before E3 or?
No, I don't think so.
Well, we can get a new trailer for that, and there are other studios I assume was working on Amplitude. So.
Well, if the Kickstarter works out.
Yeah.
Which doesn't look likely at this point.
I assume Saber's doing the Halo Master Chief Collection.
Yeah, absolutely. 343 is too busy with Halo 5 itself.
Hopefully, not screwing Halo 5 up.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, I honestly don't know. I'm expecting something, but even the rumors of like, what Microsoft is going to show at E3 is pretty boring.
Yeah?
It's basically what we said. It's Halo, it's Call of Duty, it's Gears of War, it's Froza. Yeah, it's like even the rumors can't be creative with them. That's I hope they have something. Like I'm not always an advocate of like new IP, but it just feels really weird if this is what they have, which is basically stuff we've known for the last 6 months to
maybe it. Since Vayner also have kind of an indie initiative, maybe they'll have a couple of smaller titles.
Did Beyond ever come? Was it Beyond or Bio? Did that ever come out?
No, not yet. It doesn't have to be said.
Maybe we'll have some stuff on that. I assume, Yeah, I honestly don't know. I don't know. I think that's where we're going to end it, because I'm hoping that Microsoft, we don't know because they have a ton of surprises and not because we already know what they have on this. So yes, as always, you can find us on Twitter at @duel_wielding. You can find us on Facebook, Google+, at Nerds on the Rocks. You can find us on the website at nerdsontherocks.com. You can check us out on Twitter. Our names will be linked in the show notes. So for Martin, Daniel, myself, this has been Duel Wielding episode 141.